Now to the beginning of this week's series, a series we're calling China Rising. It will follow China's role in Africa and today, Sudan. That relationship is widely believed to be a marriage anointed with oil. China needs it. Sudan has it. They've been doing business for years, but as NPR's Gwen Tompkins reports, the Sudanese say their bond with China runs deeper than any oil well. The story goes back more than 100 years to a man who proved the adage, "The enemy of my enemy is my friend."
His name was Charles Gordon, Major General Charles Gordon, Chinese Gordon to his fans, and they weren't Chinese, not even a little bit. In the 1860s, Gordon was a star in the firmament of the British Armed Forces, the go-to guy who made for China to help secure Britain's trading rights there.
Charles Gordon spent some years in China as a British representative during this imperialistic era.
Maimuna Mirghani Hamza teaches history here at El Nilain University in Khartoum. Gordon is well known in Sudan because he came this way after making a name for himself among the Chinese. She says Gordon went to great lengths to force British influence in China, apparently at great expense to the Chinese people.
Maybe he did it in excess.
In the 1860s, a then Captain Gordon, all 5'5" of him, helped promote the crown's interests in China at a time when Britain was itching to sell opium there. Imperial China had outlawed the opium trade, but the opium wars, as they were called, humbled the emperor and won lavish trading privileges for Britain and other Western powers. It was a humiliating era for the Chinese, made all the more bitter on the day that Gordon personally oversaw the burning of the emperor's summer palace. Gordon later fought in one of history's bloodiest rebellions, in which tens of millions of Chinese died.
He troubled the Chinese very much, and so they were watching what would happen to him and his fate. And his fate was here in the Sudan.
El Sayed Ahmed Abdurrahman Al-Mahdi is the grandson of the man who years later received Gordon's head on a pike. He was called Muhammad Ahmed Al-Mahdi, and in Sudan, he's a bona fide hero. The Mahdi was a self-proclaimed descendant of the Prophet Muhammad, and he raised an Islamist, anti-colonial army that brought the British low. He and Gordon, a former governor of the Sudan, reportedly held one another in high esteem. But on January 26, 1885, the Mahdists ran their swords through Gordon on the steps of a palace in Khartoum, and then they cut his head off. The Mahdi army was fighting for Sudan's independence from all foreign influence. Again, historian Maimuna Hamza.
For 3 days, the city was at their mercy. Many people also were killed, you know, Egyptians, Turks, Greeks.
It remains Sudan's most astounding military victory. News of Gordon's death and the fall of Khartoum raced across Africa like a brush fire in a high wind. The Mahdi did not live long enough to see the British exact revenge. Within months, he was dead, probably of typhoid. Here at the grandson's opulent home, there's a portrait of the Mahdi in a white turban, his serious face in three-quarter light, black eyes staring quietly into the middle distance. He has the aquiline nose of Yankee pitcher Andy Pettit, a thing so regal it could be minted on a coin. His grandson, Abdurrahman, says the Mahdi's achievement cannot be underestimated. It led to a crisis in Britain that brought down the government, a psychic injury almost as painful as when the Yankees handed them their hats in the New World.
The Mahdi's movement awakened the peoples who have been colonized and governed by Europeans and so on. It's affected all the Arab world, all the Eastern world, people in China here. The Chinese, in fact, know very much about the Mahdist movement.
Ali Abdallah Ali says that today, Chinese visitors to Khartoum want to see exactly where Gordon fell. Ali is an economist in downtown Khartoum who has written a book on Sudanese-Chinese relations. He, like everyone else here, says the story begins on the day General Gordon expired, and so far, it has no ending.
So the Chinese feel we have executed a vendetta for them, you see. They have revenge for the Chinese, you know, by killing Gordon.
Today, China is Sudan's #1 trading partner. But Gordon didn't seal that deal. Oil did. The Bank of Sudan estimates that the country sells well more than 80% of its crude to Beijing. But what gives the relationship flair is the tale of the Mahdi and old Chinese Gordon. It is widely believed that the Mahdi had wanted Gordon captured alive. Historians say he had plans to convert the general to Islam or to trade him to Britain in a prisoner exchange. But perhaps even in defeat, Gordon would have preferred to remain in Sudan. In his writings, Gordon said he would sooner follow the Mahdi than go out to dinner every night in London. Maybe that's why the folks here call him Gordon of Khartoum. Gwen Tompkins, NPR News, Khartoum.
Now, if Gwen's history has gotten you interested, and it certainly has me, tomorrow you can hear about China's economic power in Sudan and Beijing's reluctance to put political pressure on the government there.